I'd like to begin by reading a portion of Scripture from the book of John. The book of John, and we're in chapter 10, and the Bible says in verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of them. The title of this morning's message is The Good Shepherd. You know, there's going to be a passage of Scripture I'm going to be looking at shortly, a passage of Scripture that you probably are very familiar with. As soon as I start reading it, you'll probably recognize it almost immediately. It's in Psalm 23, and you can turn there now. Psalm 23 will be there for the rest of the morning. But this morning, God laid on my heart for today's message a passage of Scripture to remind you of the kind of relationship that God wants to have with you. Yes, God is your Savior. God tells us that He is our Father. Christ is our brother. We're told that He's our friend. But there's a part that God wants to play in our life that oftentimes we forget. God wants to be your shepherd. Psalm 23, the Bible says, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I've been saved since I was 5 years old. I can only remember this passage being read or preached from at a funeral service. I can't remember any other time where I've heard Psalm 23 preached from the pulpit. Now, I'm sure many pastors have preached this message from the pulpit. I'm sure it's been preached many times, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night at a Bible study. All I'm saying is I personally have only heard this passage spoken of, preached, or taught from at a funeral service. Why? Well, this passage is obviously very comforting for those who are entering into the valley of the shadow of death who have already passed through the valley of the shadow of death, because we often think that verse 4, this valley of the shadow of death, is death itself. But I want to clarify something for you. This psalm is not a psalm that was intended to be used at a funeral service. Now, I'm not saying that you can't. I'm not saying it's wrongly applied. But David was not dying during Psalm 23. David did not die after Psalm 23. David's term, the valley of the shadow of death, was not referring to the fact that he was on his deathbed, but instead referring to the fact that he was walking through a time of his life that seemed like death was surrounding him. That seemed like he could die at any time. That seemed like people wanted him to die at any time. David was in a period of his life where things were not going great. Life was not at its fullest. He was not walking on clouds. He was living in a part of his life that seemed discouraging, that seemed dangerous, and that seemed like he could be dead at any time. And so this verse, I think this passage, applies very well for what a lot of us are going through right now, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. So, the title of this morning's message again, The Good Shepherd. I see 3 points. Jesus Christ wants to be 3 things for you as a good shepherd. He wants to be your provider, He wants to be your comforter, and He wants to be your lover. Now, let me explain that last one. We often think lover in the sense of a romantic way, between a husband and a wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, in the sense of they love each other romantically. That is not the case. God wants to love us as a father to a child. He wants to love us in all things and through all things. So let's see the first one. The good shepherd wants to be our provider. Verses 1 through 3. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. When Jesus Christ was walking on earth, He was with His disciples. And the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. So Jesus Christ prayed for them. And He showed them how to pray. And in that prayer, Christ said in His prayer, provide for me, God. Give me this day my daily bread. God encourages His disciples, His followers, to ask daily for the needs in our lives. Sheep needed a daily shepherd. The sheep were not allowed or would not survive well if they were just allowed to run free for 2 weeks and the shepherd checked in on them every week, every 2 weeks, every month. A good shepherd kept an eye on their sheep every day. And a good shepherd was with the sheep every day. And on the days when the shepherd could not be with the shepherd got someone else to take his place with the sheep. God doesn't want to be with you just once a week on Sunday. God doesn't want to just check in with you 1 hour every Sunday morning and say, hey, you good? You good? All right, see you next Sunday. God wants a relationship where he is with you every day, where you are with him every day. God wants a daily connection. Why? Because letter A, our daily needs are God's daily concerns. God doesn't care about how you're doing overall, purely, only. He also cares about how you're doing every day. God wants to know every morning, every afternoon, every evening, how are you doing? You have a need? Bring it to God. God wants to care for those needs. He's my shepherd, and he doesn't want you to want. He doesn't want you to go without the needs, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, that are going through your life right now. God is a good shepherd, and as a good shepherd, wants to be part of your everyday life, not just weekly life. Letter B, I see that God will direct his followers towards a life of fulfillment. Now, a good shepherd doesn't take the sheep into the desert, abandon them, and then run away. A good shepherd doesn't take the sheep into a forest full of wolves and predators, abandon them, and then run away. A good shepherd takes his sheep to a safe place where they can receive the grass, the water. We hear about in verse 2, green pastures, still waters. The good shepherd isn't going to take them to a river. Why? Because if he takes them to the river and the sheep fall in the river, the sheep drown. So he takes them to a place where the waters are still, where the sheep can drink of the water without the chaos of the rapids. God is a good shepherd. Now, when I talk about a life of fulfillment, I don't mean that God wants to fulfill your life with all the things you want. I mean that God wants to fulfill your life with all the things he wants. You see, the sheep did not decide which direction they went. The shepherd decided which direction the sheep went. The sheep didn't tell the shepherd, we're going here. The shepherd directed the sheep, we are going here. And too many Christians are telling God, I want a life of fulfillment over here. Over there. Hey, that looks good, God. I'm going to go over here. You going to join me, God? You going to join me over here, God? And God says it doesn't work that way. I don't join you where you go. God says you join me where I go. God is the shepherd. The shepherd is the leader. The shepherd is the one that gives direction. The sheep are the ones that follow. God says you follow me, and I ensure, I promise you, I guarantee you that where I will take you will be a life of fulfillment. Your connection with God will bring fulfillment that you've never had before. Your connection with the people God brings into your life will bring you joy beyond imagination. And yet if you leave God, turn your back on God, and go your own way and leave the shepherd, you are not guaranteed a life of fulfillment. In verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still water. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. That idea, restore, means to make new again. David obviously is very troubled during this time. And we can see in the later verses, he talks about being surrounded by his enemies, people who literally want David to die. And so David is discouraged emotionally. David's whole, his soul, his heart, his spiritual condition is not doing really well at this time. He feels like he's unloved. He feels like he's unwanted. But David, when he feels that way by everyone else, he says, I do know one person that loves me. I do know one person that wants me, and his name is God. And David turns to God, and his soul, his emotions, his spirit, they're refreshed, they're renewed with God. A lot of us try to find that refreshment with what we eat, what we drink, what we put in our body. Some of us try to find that refreshment, that renewal of spirit in activities. Some of us adventurous activities, and some of us not so adventurous activities. Some of us try to renew that spirit with just a calm atmosphere, finding a place where no one's around, complete silence, and we can just gain our sanity again. Let me tell you something. the best way to find a renewed spirit, emotionally and spiritually both, is with God. In verse 3, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You know, God is going to take us to some pretty great places, but when He does, God wants us to remember it was Him that brought us there. And God wants His followers to lift God up. You know what God says? Draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. God also promises that if we lift Him up, God will lift us up in return. But your life with Christ is not all about what Christ can do for you. But my life for Christ and your life for Christ should be what we can do for Christ because of what He already has and is doing for you. Letter C. God cares for the emotional and spiritual health of His followers, not just the physical. Yes, God is going to care for your daily needs. God desires to care for your daily needs, but they're not just physical. God also cares for your spiritual and your emotional. Take your needs to Christ in prayer. Take your needs to Christ through His Word and ask God to care for those needs because He does. So we see the Good Shepherd, number one, He's the provider. Number two, He's the comforter. Let's look now to verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Again, this shadow of death, this valley of the shadow of death does not mean you are dying. It means you are in a dangerous place. It could be dangerous emotionally, could be dangerous spiritually, could definitely be dangerous physically. There is danger surrounding you. Doesn't mean you will die. It means there's some pretty destructive things in your life right now. And David is walking through this valley, but he says, I will not be afraid. Why not? For Thou, God, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. I said last week during our drive-in service, where are you looking? Where are your eyes at right now? It's so very easy for our eyes to be looking at everything but God, the valley of the shadow of death that surrounds us, and to say, oh man, I'm in trouble. I don't think I'll get out on the other side successfully. But when you can look to God, you can have the courage that King David had. Yes, that same man who defeated Goliath, that same man who became the king of Israel for 40 years, that man said, I get my courage when I look to Christ, when I look to God. So the comforter, God wants to comfort you even during the darkest of times. Letter A, God will not remove all trials from our life, but He will provide the courage to persevere. Now, God did not tell David, hey, you're king, David, so I'm going to make life easy for you. Hey, David, you defeated Goliath. You had your one big scary moment in life. That was it. There's no more. You did it one time. That's all I expect. No, David went through trial after trial after trial. If you know anything about the life of David, you know that David's fight with Goliath was just the beginning. Not long after that, he's literally running from his life from King Saul, who believes that David was trying to take the throne. David is so scared throughout different parts of his life that he literally acts crazy in a certain town so that people will not arrest him. For years, David runs from Saul. And then when David finally does become king, he still has to deal with his enemies, the Philistines and the surrounding nations that sought to destroy David and Israel. David lived through some very dark times in his life, not just once, but multiple times. And yet David wrote more of the Psalms than any other person that we know. And the Psalms are texts or passages of Scripture that constantly encourage us to put our eyes on Christ. If anyone knows what it's like to go through dark times, it's David. And David's advice was always look to Christ, the comforter. Letter A, God's not going to remove those trials. God doesn't promise to get you through life without any difficulties. But God does promise that as you go through those trials, one, He'll be by your side. And two, God says, I'll give you the courage. In the Bible, we're told that the spirit of fear does not come from God. If you are fearful, God didn't place that fear there. Faith is God-given. Courage is God-given. Fear is not. Now, I'm not saying that we won't have fear. We will. And when we do have fear, give it to God and ask God to replace that fear with courage. Letter B. God will never send us into the darkness alone. As David is walking through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. David says, you know, God, you know what brings me courage to this dark time of my life? I know I'm not walking through it alone. He says, God, you're with me every step of the way. Because a good shepherd doesn't leave the sheep behind when they go through danger. By the way, King David was a shepherd before he was a king. Before he was a warrior, King David took care of the sheep. And we're told that David actually protected his sheep from a lion. As a lion was coming to attack the sheep, David says that with his rod, with his staff, with his slingshot, he scared the lion off and protected the sheep. A good shepherd does not abandon the sheep in their hour of need. And God is a good shepherd. And this is your hour of need. And you can know this for sure. God has not turned his back on you. Now here's a question I have for you. Have you turned your back on God? Now it is possible for the sheep to wander away from the shepherd. But the shepherd will never wander away from the sheep. If you are a sheep who has wandered away, who has wandered off away from God, then letter C is encouraging. God is quick to pursue those who fall from the path. Again, in verse number 4, we're told, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, that rod is a strong stick with a curved hook at the end. And the purpose of that rod was to direct the sheep. So he would tap the side of the sheep if they're going the wrong way to bring them back in line. If the sheep started running, the shepherd was very quick and agile. He would take that hook part of his rod and hook it around the sheep's neck or his leg to bring him back into the fold. The shepherd was constantly using his rod, his staff, to direct the sheep and to bring them back into the group so they'd all go in the same direction. And we're told in the book of the Gospels where Jesus Christ tells a story, a parable. And he says a shepherd had 100 sheep. And one of those sheep wandered off. And that good shepherd left the 99 to go find the one. And what do you think that shepherd took with him when he went looking for the one? He took with him his rod, his staff. And sometimes the sheep would find themselves in brush or briars where the shepherd could not crawl in, so he'd take his rod and pull the sheep out. Sometimes the sheep might fall into a little crevice, and the shepherd would take that rod and pull the sheep out of the crevice. That rod and that staff was not a symbol of discipline for the sheep. It was a symbol of protection and guidance for the sheep. The shepherd used his staff to constantly bring the sheep back where they should be. Now, if you've wandered off, God says, I've got that rod, I've got that staff, and I want to bring you back. And God is quick to search you out. God is quick to bring you back. The problem is, too many of us are quick to run away again. God brings you back. Sunday morning, online message, your heart is broken. You repent before God. You apologize. God, I'm so sorry for what I've done. I want to reconnect with you. And you do. And the very next day, you run away from God again. The next Sunday, you hear another message. God, I'm so sorry. I want to reconnect with you. And God brings you back in. And then not even before the day's done, you run away from God again. And it seems like your relationship with God is constantly one where you run from God and God brings you back. You run from God and God brings you back. How many more times must you run from God before you realize there's nothing outside of God's will for your life that will bring you joy? How many times will you realize that what is outside of God's protection isn't what you need or what you want? Stop running from God. Let God bring you back, and this time, stay there. God is the great comforter. During our darkest times, God is near you. God has not abandoned you. And when you run from him, he will draw you back. And then number 3, and we're done, I see that God wants to be your lover. A good shepherd doesn't just care for the sheep. A good shepherd loves the sheep. And I see here again in verse 5, thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Anyone can provide for another human being. but it is those who love the people they provide for that truly make a difference. It's one thing for a parent to give their kids what they need physically. It's something altogether different for a parent to love their children unconditionally. If you had a parent that loved you unconditionally, then their love meant way more to you than anything they ever give you. And if you are that parent who loves your children unconditionally, there is nothing you can give your child that they need more than your love. God is not looking to just grant your needs, care for you physically, emotionally, and spiritually. God loves you, and God wants you to love him in return. Letter A, when all others seek our destruction, God seeks our restoration. David says he's surrounded by his enemies. But when he's surrounded by his enemies in verse 5, who is there to restore his soul? Who is there to set up a table of sustenance, to set up a table of comfort? And we're told in verse 5, so much so that David's cup runs over. David is given so much blessing that his body, his soul, his spirit cannot contain how much God wants to give David. And God wants to give you more than you can handle. Not more judgment than you can handle. Not more discipline. Not more trials than you can handle. God wants to give you more blessings than you can possibly handle. Have you ever had an experience with a loved one when maybe you've gone on a vacation or something taking place at home where your heart was just so full you literally felt like it would burst? You didn't think you could contain any more joy than you were going through at that moment. God says, that's the kind of relationship I want with you. Not just once a week, not just once in a while. God says, I'm the good shepherd. And I want to have a relationship with you where I literally overflow your heart with joy and blessings. God wants to restore you to him, letter A. When all others seek your destruction, God seeks your success. But letter B, as a good father, God offers abundant gifts. You know, I love my daughters dearly. I have four girls and a boy. I love my kids more than anyone else aside from my wife. And let me just tell you this, that there are times where I just give my kids things they didn't ask for, they don't need, they didn't even know that they wanted until I gave it to them. And why would I do that as a dad? Because I love my kids. And since I love my kids, I'm not only going to give them what they need, there's times where I'll give them what they want, and there's plenty of times where I'll give them things they don't even know that they want, because I want them to have it. And if I am that kind of father, a human father, I have my issues, I'm not perfect. If I can be that kind of father to my kids, what kind of father does God want to be to you? Much better than I could ever be. God is not a father who just gives you what you need and tells you to do what he wants. God says, I give you what you need. A lot of times he'll give us what we want if it's in his will. And many times God gives us what he wants before we knew we even needed it. God wants you to live the abundant life. That doesn't mean you'll have a bank account with unlimited funds. The abundant life is not received through finances. The abundant life is received through what we have inside. The love, the joy, the peace, the comfort, the courage that God gives us. That's the abundant life. Some of the greatest memories we have with our loved ones is not when we spent thousands of dollars, but in simple times, doing simple things, and the simple connections made our day. God wants to have that with you. And then letter C, God wants to be your lover. God wants to love you as a father to a child. Letter C, God offers not only eternal glory, but present mercy. In verse 6, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As David is going through this dark time in his life, David says, I look to Christ, I look to God for my courage. I recognize that God is near me, but in verse 6, David says, you know what? I'm looking ahead. I'm looking to what is coming down the road for me. I'm not going to focus so much on what's happening here and now. I'm going to focus on what God promises me in the future. And what God promises him is a place in God's house forever and ever, verse 6, eternal glory with God. And God promises that to you if you accept his son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior. If you trust in Christ and his death on the cross to save you from your sins, you too can be saved. It's called repentance and faith. Once you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you are guaranteed a place with God in heaven for eternity. But God doesn't just promise eternal glory. God says, I'm not just the eternal shepherd in heaven. God's your shepherd now. And God says, I want to provide you with present mercy. In verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now let me explain something. David is not stating that he will receive mercy from the people around him. He's already told us what they want. They're his enemies. They want to kill him. David is not saying that God promised me that everyone will be merciful to me. David is saying that God will give me mercy. When all others seek my destruction, God seeks my success. When everyone else wants to judge me for every minor wrong that I've committed, God wants to give me mercy. When everyone wants to remind me of every time I've messed up in my life, God wants to forgive and forget. So, who are you going to turn to during times of trouble? The folks around you who have not forgotten your wrongs? The folks around you who are secretly looking for your destruction? Or are you going to turn to the Good Shepherd who loves you, who wants to comfort you, who wants to provide for you? The Good Shepherd who wants to be merciful to you. There is not a sin you can commit that God does not want to forgive. Now, God's forgiveness does not mean he's okay with your sin. God's forgiveness does not mean he wants you to keep sinning. God forgives you because he loves you more than he hates your sin. Yes, God does hate sin. He hates your sin, and he hates my sin. But God loves me more than he hates my sin. And God loves you more than he hates your sin. Which is why God loved the world so much that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to conquer sin and death on your behalf, that you might join him forever and ever. Psalm 23, verse 6. The Lord is my shepherd.